Anya.
Good afternoon. I apologize for sounding this way. I'm getting over a really bad cold, but I really wanted to be here today. So I wanted to thank Ivan and Graham for inviting me a couple of months ago to help out with the panel selection and then also giving me an opportunity to present my work here today. So the paper you've had an perhaps opportunity to read and I'll be speaking to is taken out of my doctoral dissertation. Elements of it are. And the dissertation itself undertakes a critical gender analysis of the EU and Polish working time regimes and examines also the relationship between these regimes. Both of these aspects are to an extent present in this paper, but the paper's primary focus is on Poland and to a lesser extent on the working time norms set at the EU level. Specifically, the paper contextualizes Poland's most recent post-crisis labor code reforms, focusing on the changes that were made to the working time rules. And it does so against the backdrop of longer-term regulatory trends in Poland. And then the paper also problematizes the Polish working time regime and these most recent changes from a perspective of their actual and potential impact on women workers. What I will highlight in my presentation today are the key arguments that the paper makes about the relationship between working time law, gender equality, and sustainable social reproduction, broadly speaking, and in the context of Poland specifically. And then I will examine in more detail the relationship between EU and Polish working time regimes, a relationship which is sort of hinted at in this paper, but that I would like to flesh out a little bit more today. So the paper's key conceptual argument relates to a particular relationship between organization and legal regulation of work hours, gender equality in the labor market and more broadly, and the long-term social and economic sustainability. Standard norms of work time regulation, so those that relate to full-time work, which is carried out according to a pre-established schedule, typically 5 to 6 days, 40 to 48 hours a week, 8 hours per day, those types of norms have historically developed on the basis of particular presumptions about workers' exclusive availability for paid work, which in turn was based on assumptions about appropriate sharing of responsibilities and allocation of time for paid and unpaid work of caregiving between men and women. Once institutionalized in the form of legal standards, these kinds of working time patterns tended to erect barriers to women's equal labor market engagement because women's ability to submit to work hours established by these standards was limited by the caregiving responsibilities which are intermittent and time-intensive in nature. In the process, then, these norms tended to perpetuate and reproduce certain unequal division of labor, which they presumed to begin with. In the case of Poland, where the socialist state's active support of social reproduction made women's full labor market participation possible after the Second World War, similar gendered assumptions and traditional gender contracts which existed within the households nonetheless combined with shortcomings of socialist economy and the relatively underdeveloped service sector, and then translated into double burdens for women who now had to combine full-time paid work with residual household and household provisioning and care work. As my paper argues, this already precarious balance that existed during socialism became completely unhinged during Poland's transition to market economy in the early 90s, as the state provisioning was nearly completely withdrawn, and women's ability to balance their work and family obligations became even more challenging than before. And this shift exposed this inherent flaw and inequality and unsustainability of a working time regime based on long hours of work. And it's against this conceptual and historical background that I then examine the most recent changes in Polish working time regulation. Specifically, the paper looks at the anti-crisis legislation, which was introduced in 2009 to preemptively address the potential effects of the global financial crisis in the Polish economy. Among others, the bill introduced provisions which enable substantial temporary extensions of daily and weekly working time. And these provisions do so by allowing employers to adopt very long reference periods on the basis of which permissive permissible daily and weekly hours of work are calculated. So the bill itself doesn't raise the maximums, the weekly maximums or the daily maximums per se, but because it permits averaging periods of up to 1 year, 12 months, it consequently enables significantly longer weekly hours, even if they're balanced out by periods of shorter hours. And this was not previously available under Polish law. While the bill was justified in the name of flexibility and economic efficiency during a difficult time, I argue in this paper that such extensions will have a significant impact on the working realities of Polish men and women, given the fact that Poland historically has had a culture of long hours and that current levels of labor standard observance are quite bad. These longer reference periods will likely contribute to continued prevalence of extensive work hours. That, coupled with the competitive nature of the Polish labor market and women's already unequal position within it, and the traditional gender contracts within the home, these long hours will in turn contribute to women's further marginalization within the labor market and push some women out, at the same time also making it harder for men to engage in caregiving work, as they are likely to be the ones working the longest hours. And this, I say, will not only contribute to further inequality in Poland, but given the findings of Polish sociologists and demographers who have noted that Polish families, and particularly Polish women, often hinge their procreative decisions on having a job, it will also do very little to support current policy efforts to increase both women's labor market participation and fertility. So how does this, how do the EU norms then play into this? As I suggest in my paper, Polish working time reforms in the new millennium have been undertaken under the shadow of EU norms because the need to adapt Polish law to the European acquis was one of the conditionalities of accession. The strength of Poland's market economy, of course, was the other, and both were cited by Polish politicians and legislators in support of the progressive flexibilization and re-regulation of the Polish labor law framework. As I note in my paper, both the most recent changes, which I talked about, and as well as changes introduced in 2002 and 2003 through major labor code amendments, essentially brought Polish working time norms in line with the norms set by the EU Working Time Directive. Unfortunately, they did so by regulating downwards to the directive's norms. So in my paper, I cite specific examples of changes through which introduction of the EU standard actually trumped a more protective standard that already existed under the Polish Labor Code. The paper partially explains why this happened, and one reason that I cite are the long-term tendencies in the Polish regulation and significant domestic support for policies of flexibility and liberalization of the labor law framework. And in my dissertation, I explore in a lot more detail just how pervasive this focus on flexibility became and how a particular constellation of social and political actors made up of employer organizations, business lobby, labor law experts, and politicians of both the right and the left were able to push their agenda to progressively secure a more relaxed and flexible legal framework. Of course, the need to meet EU conditionalities of accession played a significant part in this process as well. On the one hand, pressures to demonstrate the stability and viability of the Polish market economy was significant, particularly in the context of very uneven growth during Poland's transition, and very high unemployment rates, which in 2001, so just 3 years prior to Poland's accession, reached 20%. So it was this external pressure and that then mixed with local preferences and lobby efforts, and ultimately between the reports of the European Commission on Poland's accession progress, which criticized the rigid Polish labor framework, and then emphasis on flexibility and competitiveness in EU's own employment policy instruments, Polish policymakers had sort of additional justification for their unpopular legislative choices. Of course, in my paper, I also note that not all of these changes that were introduced in the Polish labor law were negative, as a number of positive kind of worker-friendly forms of flexibility were also introduced. So these were also inspired by the EU policy discourses and policy directions, particularly emphasis on work-family reconciliation and making workplaces more family-friendly in the interest of activating women and boosting fertility. So given Poland's drop in fertility and activation in the post-transition process, this policy direction coming from the EU was actually taken up in Poland as well. Nonetheless, it has been not adopted with as much vigor as the employer-friendly forms of flexibility that enable extensions of work time. Indeed, the manner in which these latter forms of flexibility have been implemented in Poland so far tends to clash with the efforts to make workplaces more family and woman-friendly. So to briefly conclude, then, Poland's historical experience with working time regime based on long hours demonstrates how unsustainable and unequal such regimes are. And it could serve as a caution for other EU members reforming their working time regimes. As for the progressive weakening of the Polish working time norms, the fact that Polish reforms that brought this weakening about actually took a substantial cue from EU policy directions and the protective norms set at the EU level may be a case of kind of perverse and selective transposition. I suggest, however, that it is also a reflection of instrumentalism and lack of coherence in EU's own policies. Thank you.